I proclaim the gospel in this way that I'm going to do tonight other times, and so some of you who are visitors, I kind of take it and I break it up and preach in between the different parts of the gospel. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a large crowd gathered around him and he stayed close to the sea. One of the synagogue officials named Jairus came forward. Seeing him, he fell at his feet and pleading earnestly with him, saying, "My daughter is at the point of death. Please, come lay your hands on her that she may get well and live." Jesus went off with him, and a large crowd followed him and pressed upon him. I'm a large fan of College Baseball World Series, which has been going on for the last couple of weeks. And I try to watch as much of it as I can. Thursday night was a championship game between Oregon State and Arkansas. And the game for me wasn't about who might win the championship or who might be the hero or who might do some phenomenal play. It was about a young boy, 11 years old, who is an avid Oregon State fan. This 11-year-old has had serious heart conditions for some time. He's gone through a large number of surgeries. And during part of the game on Thursday night, they showed him in the stands. And there he stood with a drainage tube coming out of his nose and a stuffed animal in his hands, cheering and taking that stuffed animal, which was the beaver that is the team name of Oregon State, cheering on, getting excited and enthusiasm. And the story was told that the Oregon State baseball team has adopted him, has taken him on. What they do, they bring him into the dugout before the game. They bring him down in the locker room after the game. He has become one with that team. Those Oregon State baseball players are the model of the father in the story that I just began with. Because the father in the story set aside all of his authority and all of his position for the main reason to cure his daughter. Those players have set aside any importance of the game, any honor, any award to be connected with that young boy who is 11 years old and is a fan of theirs. Each and every one of us, whether we are parent or spouse or partner or brother or sister, mentor or teacher, we are called to be the same way, to extend God's love into the lives of the people that are important to us, to be the people that go to each other with sometimes a generosity of heart, sometimes with the resolve to lift up somebody who's fallen, be the one who can bring healing to those who are suffering, to be that model and that image of that Father Jairus, of that team, of the love of our God. There was a woman afflicted with hemorrhages for 12 years. She had suffered greatly at the hands of many doctors and had spent all that she had. Yet she was not helped by anyone, but only grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. She said, "If I but touch his clothes, I shall be cured." Immediately, her flow of blood dried up. She felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. Jesus, at once aware that power had gone out from him, turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who has touched my clothes?" But his disciples said to Jesus, "You see how the crowd is pressing upon you, and yet you ask, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see who had done it. The woman, realizing what had happened to her, approached in fear and trembling. She fell down before Jesus and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has saved you. Go in peace and be cured of your affliction." Sometimes that reaching out to touch calls us to stop. To stop and sometimes set aside what is going on in our life. But sometimes it also calls us to stop and take a risk. That's exactly what the woman did in the gospel. Because you see, at the time of her life and her culture and her rules and laws, she was excluded because of her hemorrhaging and bleeding. She was considered unclean. She could never leave the confines of where she lived. So she risked to walk out and to be in the crowd. She walked out and risked to break the rules. She walked out to risk because she knew there was something more important and more important person she was looking for. And so she risked. And Jesus also risked. He risked because he knew that if he was touched by her, he would be looked at as unclean. He would not be able to go into the temple. He would not be able to be with crowds. But to him, there was something more important. Because when he was touched, he was not made unclean. But when he touched, he healed. Where in your life, in my life, are we called to risk? Are we called to risk to speak up for those whose voices are being silenced or who do not have the courage or ability to care for themselves and to speak for themselves? Are they children? Are they adults? Are they ones that are different than we in all ways? Are we willing to take the example of Jesus and the woman and be willing to risk to speak for what we believe and who we are? He didn't allow anyone to accompany him inside except Peter, James, John, and their brother James. While he was speaking, people from the synagogue official's house arrived and said, "Your daughter has died. Why trouble the teacher any longer?" Disregarding the message that was reported, Jesus said to the synagogue official, "Do not be afraid, just have faith." When they arrived at the house of the synagogue officials, he caught sight of a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. So he went in and said to them, "Why this commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but asleep." And they ridiculed him. Then he put them all out. He took along the child's father and mother and those who were with him and entered the room where the child was. He took the child by the hand and said to her, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." The girl, a child of 12, arose immediately and walked around. At that, they were utterly astounded. He gave strict orders that no one should know this and said that they should be giving her something to eat. Jesus walked that extra mile to that house. He walked that extra mile to pray, even though people said, "The girl is dead." Jesus walks that extra mile with each of us in our life. He walks with us to be in our presence, to be aware of what is going on, to assure us of his presence in our life. He walks that mile with us every day. Jairus was a man of faith, and he reached out in a struggling, difficult, unsettling situation. The woman with the hemorrhage is a woman of faith. Without permission, against all laws and rules, she reached out to touch the clothes of the one she believed could heal her. Each and every one of us who sits here tonight are people of faith. And faith means that we open our hearts to the possibilities of what God can do in our life. For to shut our hearts, we shut off the possibilities. Jairus, the woman of the gospel, were people of faith. You and I, as people of faith, believe that our Lord goes with us in all the difficulties of life and stays with us. At the end of that game on Thursday night, Oregon State beat Arkansas to become College World Series baseball champions. On the field were the players hogpiling on each other, hugging each other and cheering each other. And in the midst of them was that little boy with his drainage tube hanging out, being lifted up by the players, hugged by people around him. As you and I look into our lives, where is it that we in our faith need to say to the Lord, I have faith? Where do we need the Lord to say to us, arise, do not be afraid? And then where in our life this week will we be asked to touch someone else's life, to bring the presence of the Lord to them, because they may be afraid? Let's pray with that as we go into the week. The Gospel of the Lord.